Chapter 21. Thomas and Cysts. The terms Thomas and Cysts are often confused and used interchangeably, but actually they are different entities. Generally speaking, cysts are usually the result of an infection or obstruction in a gland. They are usually benign, but can rupture and spill their contents, causing serious health risks. Thomas, however, are uncontrolled tissue growth. Tumors are more likely to be malignant, but can also be benign. They can appear anywhere in the body. Their causes are still not fully understood, but are believed to be mostly genetic in nature. This chapter documents 14 cases involving healings of cysts and tumors. The first case comes from Sweden, and involves Richard Hoglad, who experienced an earlier cure of kidney stones. Case #053. Brain tumor. In August 1966, in the first of a series of contacts with human-looking ETs, Richard Hoglad was given a strange metal tray with alien hieroglyphic symbols etched into it. He was then instructed by the ETs to move to the Bahamas, which he did. More contacts followed, some of which were confirmed by Hoglad's wife. Hoglad claimed that the ETs were also in contact with officials from various governments. Hoglad experienced his second cure in 1970, 5 years following his initial contact. On this occasion, he was healed of a brain tumor. According to his wife, Govor, he had a lot of headaches before, and took pills. Hoglad told his wife that the ETs were going to come for a visit, and that she should not come home early from work. Govor, who was frightened by her husband's experiences, did as he said. After that day, she says, he never had any headache. They did something to him and he said he would not have survived otherwise. It was some form of tumor, which was removed. I looked at his head, but there was only a slight blemish. He was a bit pale and tired afterward and was told to rest a few days. Swedish researcher Alf Holmquist later wrote a full-length book about the case. Hoglad believed he was contacted because of his strong psychic and telepathic abilities. In 1977, at age 64, 7 years following his second ET healing, Hoglad died of a sudden heart attack. One, the following is a remarkable case involving the healing of a woman of a tumor. It is one of several cases in which a witness prayed for a healing and received one from an unexpected source, ETs. Case #089. Thyroid tumor. In 1979, Faya Maximova of Simferopol, Crimea, in Ukraine, was suffering from painful inflammation of her thyroid caused by an apparent tumor. Maximova was seriously ill and her doctors had scheduled her for surgery. But she was afraid of undergoing surgery and was worried that she might not survive. One evening shortly before her scheduled surgery, she prayed to God to save her, and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, Maximova was woken by a bright light hovering right outside her balcony. She looked outside and saw a disc-shaped object covered with colored lights. Suddenly an opening in the disc appeared, a ladder came down, followed by three very tall human-looking figures dressed in shimmery silver suits. Using telepathy, the beings spoke. "You will not be operated on," they said. "We will cure you without surgery." One of them held a large bottle filled with red liquid. A thin hose was connected to the neck of the bottle. One of the beings placed the other end of the hose on Maximova's neck. She felt a little sting and fell asleep. The next morning, Maximova's mother noticed a mark on her daughter's neck and woke her up. Maximova discovered that her swelling and pain were gone. She went to Kiev to visit her doctors, who were surprised and confused. Confused. Medical tests showed that her tumor had apparently dissolved. Following the incident, Maximova continued to enjoy excellent health. Writes researcher Alberto Rosales, apparently the mysterious guests not only cured Feyre, but awarded her with very strong immunity. In 2004 she was 80 years of age and looked 20 years younger. Two from the files of Edith Fuorfaes D. The following case provides a clear observation of the process involved when aliens cure people of Thomas. Case #138. Chuma. The reported abductions and healings of California abductee, Linda, have been recounted elsewhere in this book. In 1988, Linda witnessed the healing of many other people. One of the healings she saw involved a man healed of his tumor. The man with the tumor lay on a table. The aliens held a small circular item over the man's tumor, which quickly began to disappear. They're pulsing it to shrink the tumor. Linda explains, and I can almost see the tumor shrinking as they're working on it. After the tumor was gone, the man got off the table, and another patient came to be examined for health problems. 3. Richard Rilke of New Jersey has received multiple cures at the hands of ETs. He has been healed of injuries, illnesses and diseases. In the following case, he was healed of a tumor. This time, he was able to prove the cure to outside witnesses. Case #140. Tumor. In the mid-1980s, Rilke developed a tumor on the right side of his forehead. He was told by doctors that the tumor was related to a leukemia-type condition from his childhood. He'd already had several benign tumors surgically removed from his body, yet the tumors kept coming back. Rilke's alien friends advised him not to have more surgery. Unfortunately, the tumors kept reappearing, so Rilke was forced to have another operation. Then, during his stay at a convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey, Rilke's alien friends, Koran and Epos, appeared and removed one particularly bothersome tumor, leaving no traces. That seemed to solve the problem until years later, when a tumor appeared on Rilke's forehead. The tumor quickly became inches wide and showed no signs of healing. Friends and family began to express concern that it would affect his health. By 1989, Rilke was also becoming concerned. Then on July 5, 1989, Rilke received a house visit by one of his ET friends. The ET told him that they were aware of his tumor and had been searching for a method to remove it. The aliens took him aboard a UFO and told him that they were going to test a new healing device on him. They placed a small handheld instrument that emitted a beam of light. Rilke was placed in an unconscious state and felt no physical sensation. When he awoke, the aliens told Rilke that the tumor was gone. He was instantly beamed back into his bedroom. Rilke dashed to the mirror and saw that the aliens were right, his tumor had vanished. Nearly 100 people had witnessed Rilke's tumor, so when it disappeared, it amazed a great number of people, all of whom verified the cure. Rilke states that many people seemed surprised, making comments like, "My God, they're not all bad, are they?" For the disappearance of a tumor is difficult to explain. However, when a person is already having encounters with ETs, and then experiences the disappearance of a tumor, and can connect it to an actual encounter, then the explanation becomes clear. Case #156. Chest tumor. An anonymous man from East Kilbride, England, reports that besides living in a haunted house, he has been abducted by grey aliens who claimed to be from the planet Venus, though on a higher vibration of existence. During one occasion, circa 1980s, the witness was alone in his home when an unseen entity grabbed his arms and pulled them up over his head. He was unable to move and lost consciousness. When he awoke, he felt a terrific warm glow in the chest region. He was then overcome by a feeling of peacefulness. The anonymous man had been previously diagnosed with a tumor in the chest cavity. Later, the man went to the doctor and discovered that his tumor had mysteriously disappeared. He attributes the tumor's disappearance to the visitation at his home. 5 Experiencers are sometimes at a loss when trying to explain to their doctors what has happened to them. In the following case, a woman experienced a missing cyst and a missing pregnancy, leaving several medical professionals very confused. Case #177. Cyst. Alicia Hansen, pseudonym, has had numerous contacts with extraterrestrials. She has undergone hypnotic regression to recall her early encounters, but now experiences full conscious contact. Back in 1991, in Atlanta, Georgia, however, she had an experience which she didn't fully understand until years later. It involved the disappearance of a cyst. "It was really weird," says Alicia, "because at the time I was pregnant. And I took a pregnancy test and it said positive. I didn't want to be pregnant and I was really upset. I went and I told my husband because we didn't have any money. I told him and I was crying. I said, 'Oh, my God. This is horrible. And Bila Bila Bila. And anyway, I got this cyst. So I was really worried about the cyst and being pregnant and all that.' 'Don't worry,' her husband said. 'We'll work it out.'" Says Alicia, "I was worried about getting health insurance and all that. I had already been diagnosed with the cyst by the doctors. I was having a lot of problems with it too. They did an MRI where they take a picture and look at the cyst. So they saw the cyst and I was going to go back and have surgery on it. So time went on. I don't know what happened, but I woke up feeling really uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Then I went to go have another pregnancy test at the hospital. 'You're not pregnant,' they told her. 'I already had a test,' she said. 'And I was pregnant.' 'We're really sorry,' they told her. 'You're not pregnant.'" Alicia was mystified. "I thought that was really weird. And I was gaining weight and everything. I knew I was pregnant. And I took a test and it said yes, a big T. So I thought that was strange. I thought, okay, I have just somehow spontaneously aborted or something. I wasn't sure what happened. So I went back to the hospital to get another MRI done and make sure everything was okay. And the nurse said, 'Well, this is so strange,' not the nurse but the person who reads the picture. They said, 'This is really weird because if we didn't know any better, we'd say that you never had a cyst. But what's going on here is there's fluid in your fallopian tubes. And the fluid right where the cyst was, this fluid is not present when it ruptures. This is a fluid that is usually present after surgery. And that is when the fluid is there. So it completely looked as if I had had surgery done, and I didn't. There was a pregnancy that had been taken, but I also had a cyst that was removed too.'" Although Alicia doesn't consciously recall the surgery, under hypnotic regression, she not only recalled this incident, but many others she has had. She also received another cure of body injuries after an auto accident. "Having had so many ET surgeries, she has become familiar with ET medical technology. They use a lot of lights, she says. They use a lot of lasers. And they use sounds too. 6. While Bart Hopkins was for many years a leading abduction investigator, and he admitted that healings do take place, and that he's uncovered such cases, he never wrote about them in any of his books. As it turns out, the main witness from his book, Intruders, Debbie Jordan, experienced an ET healing herself, which she reveals in her book, Abducted. Case #185. Uterine tumor. On September the 23rd, 1993, 6 days before she was due to have a hysterectomy, Debbie Jordan of Como, Idia, her fiancé, and two friends were watching TV when an unexplained flashing light drew them outside. Prior to this, Debbie had experienced several UFO abductions, which were frightening and unpleasant. They watched it for a few minutes, and also videotaped it. After about 15 minutes it darted away. Moments later, they saw a strange figure walking down the road toward them. At first she thought it was a deer, until it stopped, cocked its head and began to walk backward. I estimated its height to be about 4 feet, says Debbie. It was very thin and pale in color. Its head was light bulb shaped and its neck and shoulders were very thin. Its legs and arms were quite long and thin too. The figure seemed to be almost translucent, or semi-materialized. It was too dark to see it clearly. Realizing it wasn't a deer, Debbie screamed. At this point, the videotape stopped working and they experienced a period of missing time. The next thing they knew, they had forgotten about the figure, which was no longer there, and they began discussing a strange beeping sound emanating from the nearby barn. They saw another UFO dart by, and they all went inside. After reviewing the incident and videotape, Debbie estimates that she was missing almost 20 minutes of time. 6 days later, Debbie underwent surgery for a complete hysterectomy. She had previously been diagnosed with a large uterine tumor. The surgery was successful and Debbie began her recovery. 6 weeks later, she went to the surgeon for a checkup. She asked the surgeon about the tumor. I was very surprised to hear him say that he found no tumor at all, says Debbie, but that I did have something called adiomatosis, cysts on both ovaries, scar tissue, adhesions and endometriosis. I definitely needed the hysterectomy, but had no tumor. Had the ETs removed it? Debbie isn't sure. No one will ever know, she says, yet I can't help but think it might have had something to do with the sighting we had just before I went in for surgery. Under the circumstances, wouldn't you? When she discovered that she had to have a hysterectomy, Debbie called Bud Hopkins. Bud didn't seem too surprised with what I told him, says Debbie. He said I was probably one of the last remaining female abductees to still have all her female parts, that this happening to me was probably just a matter of time. He definitely felt that there was some connection between my current physical problems and the experiences I have had. It was small comfort. Debbie underwent surgery and began her recovery, which turned out to go remarkably well. As I write this in December 1993, it's been 12 weeks since my surgery and I still have no need for any estrogen supplements, even though I had a total hysterectomy. No symptoms of menopause whatsoever. Something seems to be taking very good care of me for some reason. 7. The following case, investigated by researcher Bill Hamilton, provides excellent proof in the form of before and after X-rays showing the mysterious disappearance of a tumor. Case #201. Tumor in breast. Another family whose lives were changed by the UFO phenomenon are the Van Clauses, pseudonym, of Burbank, California. The case is well known among Southern California UFO investigators and is very well verified. The Van Clauses have not only seen UFOs, they have received regular visitations starting in December 1986 and continuing through the 1980s. The main witnesses are Morgar Van Claus and her son. The husband remained skeptical until he too experienced a visitation. Both Morgar and her son experienced regular visitations by a short gray-skinned, bald, large-eyed figure. Whenever it would visit, both would experience total paralysis. On a few occasions, Morgar was able to end the visitations by mounting a physical struggle against the paralysis. By breaking the paralysis, the bizarre figures would dematerialize. While skeptics may say that this sounds like sleep paralysis, the Van Claus case also involves several close-up UFO sightings, missing time encounters, landing traces and medical proof of extraterrestrial intervention. On December 4, 1994, Van Claus went to the doctor and was diagnosed with a tumor in her breast. The chief investigator to the case, Bill Hamilton, says, an X-ray found a peculiarity in the axillary segment of the right breast. This was followed by an ultrasonography over the same area. A small non-cystic mass measuring 1.6x6 cm was found in the problem area. Surgery was scheduled for December the 14th, so that Van Claus would have time to recover from a slight fever. On the day before the surgery, she was driving with her son when they observed a white, triangular-shaped craft hovering nearby. They watched it for a moment until it suddenly darted away. Her son became very excited and said, "Mom, look. Wow, this is a good sign they are protecting us. We are protected. You wait and see, you'll have no more problems." That evening, Van Claus was overcome by intense pain in the area of the non-cystic mass. She tried to get up out of bed, but was unable. Unable to move. She sensed strange figures in her room. At that point, she lost consciousness. She woke up the next morning and went straight to the doctor to have her surgery. That's when both she and her doctor got a huge surprise. The doctor inserted a needle into the mass and took another X-ray. To everyone's shock, the new X-ray showed that there was no mass. Another ultrasound was ordered, which confirmed that the mass had disappeared. Says Hamilton, both the radiologist and the surgeon confirmed that the previous diagnostic had revealed a solid mass and that solid masses don't just disappear. Hamilton has obtained the medical records which confirm the disappearance of the mass. He speculates that the aliens may have been removing an implant, but as he says, the explanation is only speculative. Whatever the case, Hamilton says that Morgar reported that she felt an unusual sense of well-being after the mass was gone. Eight wild greys are responsible for most of the reported healings. Mantids and Nordics comprise a significant number of cases. The following case, involving a human-looking ET, comes from English researcher Timothy Good. Case #215. Cyst in breast. On March 27, 1977, the world's most deadly aviation accident occurred at Tenerife on the Canary Islands, during which 583 people were killed. Flight attendant, Comia, was one of the few miraculous survivors. As unusual as that experience was, Comia was soon to find herself the recipient of an equally astonishing experience. 20 years later, in March 1997, Kamiya, now a clinical psychologist, worked as an insurance broker specializing in medical malpractice cases. She was working alone in her office in a tall building in downtown San Juan, Puerto Rico. The building was secure, so Kamiya was startled by somebody knocking on her door. It was a strange, smartly dressed man, over 6 feet tall with a tanned complexion and brown hair. He looked normal except for a few details. He had extraordinarily long fingers, he had no apparent body hair, and his eyes were extremely large and lilac-colored. Kamiya was stunned by his appearance, and was also shocked when the man began to speak about her daughter, who was a TV reporter doing a special on UFOs. The man said that he had come to deliver a message, that Kamiya should tell her daughter to continue her investigations, and that UFO researcher Jorge Martin, who Kamiya's daughter was working with, was being observed by American intelligence officers. The man then revealed many true details about Kamiya's life. Kamiya listened to the man as he spoke about other subjects. She then asked him about himself and his background. The man was evasive about his background, but as Kamiya says, it seemed to me he wasn't human, and he implied that he himself was an alien, collaborating with the US government. Finally, the man finished speaking and walked from her office. She was baffled when he seemed to disappear. He didn't take the elevator, and the stairs were guarded by security personnel. Everyone had to sign in and out. Her nameless visitor had somehow vanished. Writes Timothy Good, who researched the strange case, whatever his origin and nature, Kamiya's office visitor seems to have been a benefit to her. At the time of the encounter, she had a large cyst on her left breast. Later X-rays showed no sign of it. 9. While not very large, Puerto Rico is one of the top 10 producers of UFO healings. This is likely due to the high levels of UFO activity reported there. Case #219. Cyst. On July 11, 1998, sometime after midnight, an anonymous woman was sleeping in her home in Puerto Rico when she heard a man's voice waking her up. The man grabbed her by the hand, and floated her up through the ceiling of her house and into a cloud-like object overhead. Inside, she found herself in a large silver room with windows on the side and benches all around. The man led her into a small room and told her to wait there. The room flashed hot and then cold. The man returned and took the witness from the small room into another room. Inside the new room, she was put on a table. She saw three gray figures wearing white uniforms with a red star-like insignia. Another taller human-looking figure wore a metallic blue suit which covered everything except his face. He told the witness that they were going to remove a cyst from her body, and promised her that they would not leave any scars. The witness fell unconscious and woke up later in bed. All signs of the cyst were gone. 10. The following case of a healing of a brain tumor generated significant interest not only from MUFO, but also apparently from such companies as Lockheed, Martin and Buig, proving that people within our government are paying close attention to the information being released about the ET's ability to heal humans. Case #238. Brain tumor. As investigated by MUFO Tennessee State Section Director, Kim Schaffer, on October 2, 2004, a country western singer by the name of Sidney was driving to his home in Bristol, Tennessee when he saw what appeared to be a fire in the trees near his home. He pulled over to investigate. Immediately a 300-foot-long triangular craft with brilliant red-orange lights emerged from the trees and began to move toward him. Sydney turned to run, but quickly realizing the futility of trying to flee from something so large, he remained in the spot and watched the object approach. It passed overhead about 100 feet above him, during which time he felt a tingling and burning sensation on his skin. He also heard a throbbing hum from the craft which seemed to permeate his entire body. The witness returned home and went to sleep. When he awoke the next morning, he noticed some alarming symptoms including a nosebleed, a metallic taste in his mouth, and what appeared to be a sunburn on his back and face. Shortly later, he noticed that the watch he had worn during the encounter was 15 minutes slower than all the other clocks. He had lost 15 minutes of time. More radiation sickness type symptoms followed. Sydney began to feel weak and nauseated, and then suffered abnormal hair loss. These symptoms were accompanied by nightmares. Also, following the initial encounter, Sydney was woken up on multiple occasions by bright beams of light entering his bedroom, and loud buzzing noises outside his home. Schaffer, who investigated the case, says that Sydney is a devout Christian, with a strong moral code, and in her estimation, was telling the truth about his experience. While most of Sydney's symptoms from the encounter have been negative, there was one very positive after effect. Says Schaffer, "I might add that he was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, very small 3 mm, in the frontal lobe, just prior to the encounter. Subsequent medical tests, MRI and ultrasound, revealed the tumor was gone. I think this was sometime in January 2005. An interesting endnote to the case is that after Schaffer posted Sydney's case to the MUFO website, interest in the case came from some unexpected locations. Writes Schaffer, "I am shocked as well by the extreme interest shown by Lockheed Martin, Buick, and the U.S. government to the report on the website immediately after the encounter. As webmaster, I am able to see the domains which visit the site. There were hundreds of visits from the aforementioned domains, which have never visited before or since. 11. This next case was reported anonymously to MUFO. It involves a man who, after being healed by grey aliens, said, 'I see aliens as a grace from God himself.' Case #288. Pain from spinal surgery. I know for a fact aliens are real." So writes Ron, pseudonym, a computer programmer from Mississippi who insists on anonymity. "I do not want my real name or identity spilled all over social media," Ron says, "because many do not know the truth yet, or fear the truth." In 2009, Ron underwent surgery to remove a tumor located on his spinal cord. While the surgery was successful, Ron was left with chronic pain. Whenever he tried to walk, he felt severe pain. He was also unable to sleep on his stomach as this position was too painful. 4 years earlier, in 2005, Ron experienced a missing time episode. In 2016, he decided to report it to MUFO. Only a few weeks after reporting this encounter, Ron had a second encounter. That night his pain was very bad and before going to bed, he prayed to God to help relieve his spinal pain. Sometime in the middle of the night, he woke up feeling strange vibrations on his lower back area. He struggled to wake up and when he did, he saw two grey-type ETs standing by his bed table. Behind the two greys stood three additional figures who did not appear to be greys. They were about 6 or 7 feet tall. Mostly his attention was drawn to the wall of his bedroom. The wall was now transparent and in its place was a bright light. Ron realized he was lying on his stomach without feeling any pain, which puzzled him. He tried to get up but felt a strange force keeping him strapped to my bed. At the same time, the vibrations on his lower back were going strong. Ron craned his neck and seeing the aliens, he called out to them, "Help me." At that moment, a light far brighter than any light I have ever seen before flashed, and I was blacked out. Ron woke up the next morning in a very strange position, as if I went head first into a pillow with my knees bearing some weight of my body, and a horrible pain in my neck from being in such an odd position. The pain in his neck persisted for at least the next 3 days. In the weeks following the encounter, Ron noticed that his ability to recall his computer programming training, which had been decreasing, now suddenly increased. The pain in his spine, which was mysteriously absent during his encounter, was still there. But not for long. Writes Ron, about 5 months after this encounter, the sharp pains that occurred as soon as I stood up, or during sitting, started to decrease. The pain continued to lessen, and before long, Ron found he was able to walk without pain for periods of 10 minutes or more. Today Ron is deeply thankful to the ETs. He writes, "I see aliens as a grace from God Himself. I do not believe for 1 minute that all aliens are bad. Some may be deceptive, just as the human race is. However, from my encounter with them, I see some may mean well." 12. This case, published here for the first time, involves Lyatt, whose heart healing appeared earlier. On that occasion, she was unaware that she suffered from any heart problems. On this occasion, however, her illness was medically documented, and she was in danger of losing a significant portion of her lungs. The ETs, however, were watching closely and ready to intervene. Lyatt is one of several people in this book who were cured both of conditions they knew of, and others that they did not. Case #200. Lung tumor. Lyatt, pseudonym, has had encounters her entire life. In 2011, at age 57, she experienced a dramatic and somewhat painful healing of her heart. Previously described. In 1994, at age 40, she noticed an odd pain in her side. It worsened to the point where it hurt to hug somebody. She went to her doctor, who sent her to a specialist. The news was bad, she had a softball-sized tumor in her right lung. Surgery was quickly scheduled. They wanted to take out 25% of my lung, says Lyatt. The day before surgery, the doctor came for some x-rays, and the thing was gone. It was gone. It had grown over a 3 or 4 month period. They had no clue, and they were going to take out a quarter of my lung. But it was gone. There were x-rays and CAT scans of that thing. It was gone. Her surgeon was baffled. "I don't know what the hell happened," he told her. "It's a spontaneous healing, I guess." Lyatt, however, believes that the ETs are responsible. Despite having a heart and lung healing, Lyatt still feels that her encounters have been overall negative, largely due to the emotional trauma in her life. She also has concern for her children, who are also having encounters. 13. The following case, though brief, is a good example of what sometimes happens when an experiencer visits a doctor after a UFO healing event. Case #303. Breast tumor. From the files of Free, a woman was diagnosed with a suspicious growth in her breast. While meditating, she saw two helpers who had come to help get rid of the growth. Apparently, it worked, says the woman, the next day. "I went for the mammogram and the nurse came to tell me the doctor wanted a second image," she said, He can't believe it. It's gone. 14. The ET's ability to heal is nothing short of miraculous. Tumors and cysts are removed with apparent ease. The fact that some of these healings are confirmed with before and after X-rays makes it impossible to deny their validity. When medical professionals see evidence of surgery having been performed on experiencers, they are shocked and traumatized as they are forced to accept the evidence before their own eyes. The experiencers themselves are equally astonished. It's little surprise that many feel intense gratitude toward the ETs. Others, as we have seen, are more reticent. Unable to predict, control or prevent being visited by ETs, and suffering emotional, mental and sometimes physical trauma, ET contact is not always a healing event. And yet the physical healings are occurring. Reconciling the positive and negative aspects of UFO contact is a challenge faced by many experiencers. Chapter 22, Serious Illnesses and Chronic Diseases. The variety of conditions healed by ETs is astonishing. We have already examined more than 200 cases involving injuries and illnesses of many kinds. This next chapter presents 39 cases of the most incredible kind. The healing of a cut, a headache or kidney stones is one thing, the healing of a life-threatening or incurable disease is another. With the addition of cases like these, it becomes unscientific to ignore them. When somebody has an encounter and comes away from it healed of a chronic condition, it's impossible to deny that cases like these are taking place. Faking a chronic disease is not impossible, but neither is it easy. Nor can one easily fake its disappearance. These cases come from across the world. They occur to all kinds of people. They are reported by numerous high-profile UFO researchers. Many of them are verified by doctors. They have been occurring for about 100 years, probably longer. And there are a lot of them. Case #002. Tuberculosis. In the mid-1930s, an anonymous gentleman, a famous broadcaster, reported that he contracted tuberculosis when he was 13 years old. At that time there were no such things as vaccinations, inoculations or antibiotics. Diseases like tuberculosis could not be controlled. Says the broadcaster, "I got sicker and sicker, and the doctors thought I would die." While on his deathbed, the gentleman had a dream in which he was taken aboard a spaceship and cured of his disease. In the dream, he says, "A spaceship took me aboard and placed me on a table within a glass bubble. The creatures did medical procedures on me and I was made to understand that now I would be well and that for the rest of my life I would be healthier and stronger than normal humans." When the doctor saw me a few days after the dream, he found no trace of the tuberculosis. Despite the miraculous cure, the gentleman was skeptical that he had really been on board an actual UFO. In those days, stories of spaceism were very rare. It wouldn't be until the 1950s when such stories became more popular that the gentleman recognized what happened to him. Says the witness, "I began to hear other people recount incidents of being taken aboard alien craft, and their descriptions are much the same as mine, right down to the way the creatures looked." Incidentally, the gentleman says that in the late 1980s, his car was hit by a train, totally destroying it. He was inside the car at the time, and didn't receive a scratch. It is his firm belief that the aliens saved his life. Reportedly, railroad investigators also believed that the accident should have been fatal. 1. Some researchers maintain that UFO healings are being performed by the ETs for their own benefit. The healings, they speculate, are not being done out of kindness or altruism, but rather to maintain the health of their lab animals. Some cases appear to support this assertion. And as we have seen, many experiencers feel that they are treated with the respect of a lab rat. And then there are cases such as the following, which occurred to an elderly woman with no apparent prior history of contact. Of what benefit is this healing to the ETs? Case #005. Jaundice. In 1942, Elsie, an elderly woman, lived in Halifax, England during the World War II blackout conditions. At that time, she was bedridden due to severe jaundice. One evening, she saw a large blue-coloured sphere appear outside her window. Three figures appeared, each about 5 feet tall and dressed in silver suits with transparent helmets. The three figures floated to the foot of her bed. Elsie says the room became supernaturally quiet. The beings came around the side of her bed and did something to her side. They then floated off through the wall and disappeared. The blue glow was now gone, and Elsie felt elated. The next morning, much to the amazement of her family and doctors, the jaundice was gone. Elsie told them about her visitors, but they were disbelieving. Elsie, however, feels that it was a real experience, and she ascribed her unexplained healing to them. This next case involves an artist who, as a child, was healed of a very serious condition. In a later contact, the ETs told him that he had been healed because they needed him as a contact. Case #008. Angioma. In 1945, Ted X of Santa Clara, California, was about 3 years old when he experienced a fully conscious encounter with extraterrestrials. Says Ted, "I woke up from a nightmare and looked up and there was a person next to my bed. It was a strange figure, short, bald, with a large head and dark wrap-around eyes." 1.5 years earlier, Ted had been diagnosed with angioma, a medical condition involving a malformation of the blood vessels in his brain. As a result, he became paralyzed, lost his ability to speak and stopped growing. The doctors said he had only months to live. Ted's condition deteriorated. He became emotionally unstable and suffered intermittent paralysis. His vision weakened until he had only double vision. He lost his ability to walk and was forced to crawl. By the time he was 3 years old, he could no longer talk or feed himself, and his body had stopped growing. It was at this time that Ted had his encounter. Immediately, Ted's condition began to improve. Ted told his parents that doctors had cut the top of my head off. He had other memories of figures that look like the Pillsbury Doughboy who would communicate with him telepathically. Amazed by the change in his condition, Ted's parents placed him in a hospital in San Francisco where doctors performed exploratory surgery. To their amazement, Ted's condition had reversed itself and he was perfectly healthy. The surgeons said that the tissue growth had not only stopped, but shrunk. They were unable to provide an explanation. Ever since that time, Ted became obsessed with UFOs, spaceships, astronomy and aliens. The obsession remained with him throughout his life, and when he reached his mid-40s, he began to seriously question the source of this obsession. By this time, he was an accomplished artist and had drawn scores of highly detailed pen and ink drawings of various spacecraft. He finally sought out Edith Fuhrfeld to explore the extent of his experiences with UFOs. Not surprisingly, Ted recalled a complex abduction at around age 3. Under hypnosis, he recalled that the beings had large, bald heads, large eyes, and pale white-green skin. He also saw another type of being which looked more like insects, kind of like a grasshopper. Says Ted, I'm in a room in some kind of craft. And the room is round and there's lights and dials along the walls. It's very clean, very smooth, and it domes. There's almost no furniture in it except for the panels of lights and this table that contours around the room. At one point, Ted reports that he was probed by a metal pencil-like instrument. When they turn the apparatus on, a beam of light comes out. It's very straight, and it's very thin. It's needle-like. It's very much like laser light. And it comes out and strikes my head, but it doesn't hurt. They take this probe and they touch different parts of my body. They press it up against the skin in different parts. This probe registers information on the dials that are on the wall. Ted was next told that there were enlarged tissues in his head, and that he needed an operation. They took an instrument and they cut open the top of the head, all the way around. And they were able to remove that part of the skull and look at the brain. They've taken a laser device and they've cut around the skull. They're taking an instrument, it's like a laser, to heal something. They probe around the brain, they touch all over and find the enlargement. And with the laser light, they're able to shrink it. The light, said Ted, was the thickness of a spiderweb, and seemed to be almost like silk. After the beams were shone on his brain, another instrument was placed over his brain, and tan ash-like substance caused by the laser was removed. The top of his skull was placed back over his brain and another laser was shone on the wound, healing it. And this time instead of cutting it, says Ted, the cut was healed by the light. It mends the skull back together. The atoms go back together and there's no scar tissue. And when it's finished, there's no indication that the skull has been opened. The ETs were fascinated with Ted, and told him telepathically, we are here to help you. They told him that they were currently on a space station distant from Earth. They told him that he was healed because he was needed as a contact, and that they would return for another contact when he was older. At that point, he was transported back home. As he says, I see these apparatuses coming down from the sides, and they're like laser instruments. They point these down at me, and there are four of them, and they beam energy down. And my body changes into a different kind of matter, into light particles. And I travel back to the place where I began, and at that point, I materialize. I'm inside of the house. I'm back in bed now. And I wake up, and this person is standing in front of me. Ted was left only with the memory of the strange figure standing at his bedside and the feeling that doctors had cut off the top of his head. 7 years later, in mid-1952, 10-year-old Ted had a second onboard UFO experience. Later, in his mid-40s, he recalled what occurred using regressive hypnosis. Says Ted, I'm sitting in a chair in a room in a craft. It's run by a group of mechanical beings. Metal robots. They're checking my body. The room is filled with different kinds of instruments and dials and lights. I'm in a chair that's similar to a dentist's chair, with contoured arms on each side. There's another robot behind me. I'm being studied, but I don't know why. Ted was unable to recall much more about the encounter other than the strange appearance of the robotic beings. Later in 1980, while in his mid-30s, he experienced his third and latest encounter. On this occasion, he was abducted from his apartment. Says Ted, a beam of light came down through the apartment, surrounded me and changed me into a different molecular structure, and then it took me back into the small spaceship. And from there I was taken out into space, away from Earth. And we came to this colony where all these different spaceships were. I was taken on board a larger spaceship or space station. I'm in the chair. I'm being examined by the robots. Ted recalled that several sensing devices were passed up and down his body. A blood sample was taken from his arm. He was then taken to another room and laid down. His next memory was waking up in his apartment. Since that incident, Ted has reported no further contacts. These next two cases both occurred to the same person. They are unique in that the witness is the only person on record who has received multiple healings as the result of a UFO encounter, not once, but twice. Case #011. Curvature of spine, toothache. Born in 1947 in Ohio, Donna has experienced numerous UFO contacts throughout her life. After she was born, she had several health problems. Her parents had a different right-hand factor in their blood, and Donna's mother suffered from toxemia during her pregnancy. Consequently, Donna had to have a complete blood transfusion, which resulted in mild brain damage, epilepsy, and poor vision in her left eye. She was also born with curvature of the spine, and PKU, phenylketonuria, a metabolic disorder. Donna's first exposure to the healing power of UFOs occurred in 1950, between age 3 and 4. Donna still remembers the event vividly. She had a toothache and her dad put her to bed early. She was alone in her room when her room filled with shiny golden and silver light and a being appeared. Even at that age, Donna was alarmed. The being moved toward her and then reached out and touched her right shoulder. "Whatever it was," said Donna, "it completely overcame any fear I had, because I accepted it." As the light hit her, Donna had the sensation of many fingers on my back, not 5, but like 20, 30. It was like feelers. She felt as though a golden ball of light was lodged into the base of her brain. "It was all very pleasant," she says. Immediately after the being touched her, Donna fell asleep. When she awoke the next morning, she felt a burning, excruciating pain. The mysterious pain bothered her intermittently for about 3 weeks. Her parents took her to get x-rays of her spine and were shocked. Donna no longer suffered from curvature of the spine. "It was completely cured," says Donna. Thankfully, her tooth pain also went away. Donna believes this event may have also cured some of the nerve damage she suffered as a result of the blood transfusion she had when she was born. She's not sure, because it wasn't long before she had another dramatic healing event. 4 Case #018. Epilepsy, vision improvements. Around Independence Day 1953, Donna, then 6 years old, and several others witnessed a UFO that was flashing multicolored lights. When the lights flashed at Donna, the results were nothing less than phenomenal. "When the white light came on," says Donna, "I noticed a similar burning sensation that went from the base of my spine and to the top of my head and sent it in my throat. And after that, my defective vision in my left eye was corrected, and I never had another epileptic seizure after that." Donna believes the light also cured her brain damage. Following this event, her mental capacities also increased. "My intelligence went up after I was healed too," she says. She eventually took an IQ test and scored 150. In 1957, at age 10, she saw another UFO. She also began having paranormal experiences. At age 15, her experiences slowed down dramatically. In 1975, while driving with her husband, she had yet another sighting. On this occasion, she felt the ETs were trying to contact her mentally. Donna's encounters transformed her physically, mentally and spiritually. Says Donna, "When I'm in a certain set of circumstances, I can see auras, and I can go into a trance and receive messages telepathically." 5. New Jersey contactee Richard Rilke has received numerous healings at the hands of his ET friends, including the healing of injuries from an auto accident, a crushed finger, a facial tumor, and an ear infection. Rilke also says that he was healed once of a very serious disease. Case #013. Polio. Sometime in the late 1940s or early 1950s, Rilke contracted polio in a public swimming pool in Newark, New Jersey. Unable to cure him, his family treated him with massage therapy. However, at night, Rilke was given medical treatment by the ETs who would come into his room and hold a flat instrument over his body. They would manipulate the instrument, which would flash brightly. After the treatments, Rilke's weakness and paralysis disappeared. He is convinced that the aliens cured him of his polio. 6. Polio is a viral infection that can cause nerve damage leading to partial or total paralysis. Another case of a polio healing comes from a Canadian contactee. At the time, there was no vaccine for the disease. At least not from humans. Case #015. Polio. In the early 1950s, date approximate, John Adams of Toronto, Canada was stricken with polio of the spine when he was just an infant. He spent 3 years in the Shriners Crippled Children's Hospital in Toronto. They treated him with gamma globuli antibodies, but expected that Adams would die of the disease. However, to their surprise, the treatment seemed to work and he began a slow recovery. Adams had always thought that human doctors were responsible for his miraculous recovery. It wasn't until many years later that he began to realize he was having contact with ETs. He underwent hypnotic regression and discovered that he had been having contact his entire life. It was then that he discovered who was really responsible for the disappearance of his polio. Under hypnosis, Adams recalled scenes of people around me talking, "He has only 6 months to live," and exposing a part of my body, turning to me and asking, "Do you want us to take out the black vein or the red one?" He believes that this is a memory of being cured of his condition by the aliens. Says Adams, "These, I am discerning, were contacts with other life forms." Adams now remembers more than 7 separate contacts, and says that the visitations are still ongoing. 7. In the 1920s, more than 100,000 people in the U.S. contracted diphtheria. At that time, a vaccine had just been developed. A long campaign has been fought to rid the world of the disease. But even as late as 2013, more than 3,000 people worldwide died of the disease. This next case was originally revealed by David Jacobs Phase D in his book Secret Life. The main witness used the pseudonym Lynn Miller but has now released her real name, Alice Haggerty, in her audio-taped interviews. Case #035. Diphtheria. In 1962, Alice was struck with the sometimes fatal disease, diphtheria. Because of a religious background, she had not been vaccinated against the disease. For the same religious reasons, her parents refused to take her to the hospital. They did call in a doctor who said that Alice's condition was very serious, still Alice's parents refused to seek conventional treatment. Over the next 2 weeks, her condition deteriorated. The doctor visited daily, and at the end of the 2 weeks, he told Alice's mother that he did not expect Alice to live through the night. Alice, however, happened to be an abductee, and would eventually have several abductions throughout her life. On the evening in question, Alice was apparently abducted by friendly aliens, which she then described as angels in white robes with silver belts. Alice remembers being transported inside a UFO where the aliens told her she would be cured. They waved a small rod-like device around her body, and then made her stand inside a large blue cylinder with a little window. The aliens watched as a bright light was emitted from the top of the machine until it was about 8 inches from the top of Alice's head. The light then retracted and Alice was instructed to exit the cylinder. According to Jacobs, the aliens informed her in a matter-of-fact manner that she was now cured and cleansed. Alice then underwent more of the typical procedures that are often performed aboard UFOs. The next morning, Alice's mother found her playing on the floor as if everything was normal. Alice was ordered into bed by her mother and her doctor, but both admitted that the diphtheria was completely and totally gone. 8. This next case involves the cure of an unknown condition. It is reported second-hand, but it presents additional confirmation that healings are a consistent feature of UFO encounters. Case #048. Chronic disease. In the late 1960s, Mary worked as a secretary for a corporation in Little Rock, Arkansas. At the time, she suffered from an incurable, but not life-threatening, disease. One evening Mary went with a friend to a restaurant. Afterward, they were driving home when they noticed a light blue bike following them. It was unusual because Mary's friend lived in the back roads. They pulled into her friend's driveway and the bike whizzed by them. Her friend made Mary promise to call when she arrived home. Mary agreed and left for her own home. About 20 minutes later, she arrived home without incident, and called her friend. Her friend was furious and wanted to know why Mary hadn't called for more than 2 hours. Mary looked at the clock and saw that she was missing nearly 2 hours of time. A few days later, she went to the doctor. She was completely shocked when the baffled doctor told her the disease no longer existed, says Mary's friend. Mary left the office cured, but confused, with no explanation. Years later, Mary began having memories and flashbacks of that night and now believes she may have been abducted and cured by aliens, and that inside the bike that was following her were the men in black. 9. The following is one of the best verified cases of a UFO healing on record. The investigators of the case have obtained the medical records that prove the miraculous healing of a woman from Chagas disease. It's a serious disease that affects millions of people and kills up to 10,000 people annually. It's most prevalent in South America. There is no vaccine, but it can be treated with a antiparasitic medication. Case #061. Chagas disease. In the late 1960s, an 18-year-old housekeeper by the name of Bernadette from the small town of Goiás, Brazil, contracted Chagas disease. Caused by bite of the Triatomy beetle, Chagas disease causes fever, headaches, inflammation, severe damage to the heart muscle, and if left untreated, is often fatal. In fact, Bernadette's entire family died from the disease. At the time, Bernadette worked as a housekeeper for General Paulo Ucho, a 3-star general in the Brazilian army. By coincidence, Ucho's father Alfredo Ucho was a well-known Brazilian UFO researcher, often considered the father of Brazilian ufology. He was also a general in the Brazilian Army, a physicist and the education director of the Brazilian Military Academy. Alfredo Ucho had seen many UFOs throughout his life. When a wave of sightings struck the Goiás area, General Ucho conducted live field investigations, trying to make contact with the UFO occupants. Dozens of people were involved in the fieldwork, and the group had many carefully documented sightings. At some point, Ucho says he made mental contact with the ETs, and was able to take groups of people out to observe UFO displays. It was during this time that their housekeeper, Bernadette's, condition worsened. The Ucho family admitted her to the hospital where she spent 4 months in intensive care undergoing repetitive surgical treatments to remove the excess fluids in her heart. Still, Bernadette's condition worsened and it soon became clear that the disease was going to kill her, as it had her family. One evening, when Ucho was performing live fieldwork, he telepathically asked the ETs for help with Bernadette, requesting that they go beyond their usual visual displays by healing Bernadette and proving that their technology was indeed more advanced than ours. According to Ucho, the ETs agreed, and requested that Ucho bring the sick girl to a certain location. Ucho complied. He brought Bernadette and several other witnesses, all of whom observed the ETs heal her using a blue light. Afterward, Bernadette was taken to the hospital for examination. The doctors were astonished to find that her heart now had no fluid in it, and appeared to be perfectly healthy. Bernadette's medical condition before and after the incident was fully documented. In fact, General Ucho wrote several books about UFOs presenting his investigations of the Bernadette healing case and many other incidents. 45 years later, Bernadette is still healthy and married to a papaya farmer in Varginha, Brazil. Researchers obtained her records, verifying the cure. Ucho's granddaughter, Denise Ucho Slater, has spoken extensively about the healing case and continues to keep her grandfather's UFO research available to the public. 10 Hypertensio, or high blood pressure, often presents no symptoms, but can lead to a variety of serious health problems. Thankfully, it is usually treatable with diet, lifestyle changes and various medications. However, for many people it remains a chronic and life-threatening condition. In the following instance, a woman experienced both an injury and a healing as the result of a single UFO encounter. Case #062. Hypertensio. A dramatic case of physiological effects and healing as the result of a UFO encounter comes from São Paulo, Brazil. On May 27, 1973, Dua Guilispor, age 57, was baking cakes early in the morning when she saw a glowing object approach her home. It circled around the garden and hovered above the wall about 20 feet away. The upper portion of the object was transparent, and she saw three short figures looking down at her. The object was emitting beams of light which converged on her, causing temporary paralysis, pain and dizziness. As the object moved away, Lispor called out for her neighbor, who arrived too late to see the strange craft. Lispor's neighbor, however, saw that Lispor's face was swollen and her eyes were bloodshot. Following the incident, Lispor felt pain in her knees and other joints in her body. She then became worse and had to be rushed to the hospital for a prolapsed uterus, which surprised Lispor as a previous gynecological exam 6 months earlier had pronounced her healthy. Lispor's eyesight became worse and she had to wear corrective lenses. There was, however, one apparent healing. Lispor had suffered from high blood pressure and had to take medication. Following the incident, her hypertensio disappeared. According to investigators, Drive. Walter Bula and Jose Wilson Ribeiro, who interviewed the witness, a previous condition of hypertensio seems to have made an improvement to the degree where she dropped all previous antihypertensive medication. 11. The following case was researched by a large number of pioneering UFO investigators, and was one of the earliest publicized UFO healing cases in the United States. Case #063. Undescribed illness. In October 1973, in the small town of Lehi, Utah, Pat Roach and three of her seven children experienced a simultaneous UFO abduction. All of them except the youngest experienced a period of missing time and only remembered the experience under hypnosis. The case was investigated by several well-known UFO researchers including James Harder, Phase D, Kevin Radel, and Coral and Jim Laws. They performed hypnosis on the witnesses, and a typical abduction scenario was revealed. The youngest child, Debbie Dottie Roach, retained full conscious memory of the event. Right after it occurred, Pat Roach assumed there had been a prowler. Debbie said, "They were spacem, they didn't make me forget. They told me not to tell anyone except those in my family." Debbie then gave a detailed description of the aliens, the ship, and what happened when they were all taken on board. According to Debbie, they were all told to get on a machine. Debbie, who had been very ill all her life, was told by the aliens that she would be healed. "The one that stood in the corner asked my name," Debbie said, "and he said that I wouldn't be sick anymore." According to researchers, Pat had said that Debbie had been very sick before the aliens arrived and they had done something to or for her. The sickness was gone after the aliens left. 12. Multiple sclerosis is a disease which attacks the nerves of the brain and spinal cord, resulting in muscle weakness, vision problems and more. The causes are not fully understood, nor is there any known cure. It's the most common autoimmune disorder of the central nervous system. In 2010, an estimated 2 million people worldwide suffered from the condition. While people can live for many decades with the disease, advanced cases can lead to death. In 2010, about 18,000 people died of the disease. In this next case, from researcher Vadel Stevens, an army officer was cured of the disease following a series of encounters which were viewed by his entire family. Case #087. Multiple sclerosis. On August 30, 1979, retired Canadian army officer, Jean C.Y.R., of St. Eustache, Quebec, and his family were drawn outside by a strange humming sound. Once outside, they saw a large, glowing metallic disc rise from the fields behind their house, hover over their home and flash down beams of lights. They called the nearby Mirabel Control Tower and the Montreal International Airport, who confirmed that they could see the UFO. The tower controller vectored in a plane, but the UFO winked out and came back when the plane left. Another attempt provoked the same response. Meanwhile, the neighbors of the CYRS saw the object and called the police. 5 hours later, the UFO left, leaving strange circular marks in the fields where it had apparently landed. Mr. CYR and his family were extensively interviewed by various UFO groups. Meanwhile, over the next few weeks, they began having more sightings. During one sighting, the UFO was again observed hovering low over the CYR residence. CYR was able to get an audio recording of the UFO. Many other people in the area also saw the UFO. The CYR case has many fascinating aspects, but important here is the apparent cure. CYO suffered badly from multiple sclerosis and had to go to the hospital for treatment every 2 weeks. Virtually paralyzed from the disease, he spent most of his time in a wheelchair. However, following the series of encounters, CYO noticed strange marks on his body that he couldn't explain. Nor could he explain something else. His multiple sclerosis was suddenly cured. Writes Vadal Stevens, all symptoms of the disease have gone, and he hasn't had a stroke since. 13 Muscular dystrophy is a genetic disorder and comes in many forms. It causes a progressive weakening of the skeletal muscles and can attack other organs. In severe or advanced cases, it can leave patients unable to walk. Millions of people suffer from the disease worldwide, mostly males. There are treatments, but there is no known cure. Case #090. Muscular dystrophy. In 1979, Dean Anderson of Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin experienced a voluntary visit aboard a UFO. Several of his friends also claim to have had contact with the same friendly aliens. Dean says that he has been aboard their craft many times. His alien friends look human, but say they are from Saturn or Jupiter. While visiting aboard the UFO, Dean observed many things. Pertinent here is the healing he saw take place. According to Dean, during one contact in 1979, he saw a 9-year-old girl and her mother, both from Detroit, Michigan, aboard the UFO. He was told that the girl was suffering from muscular dystrophy. Dean watched with fascination as the girl was placed on a table with a glass shield over her body. She was then hooked up to an apparatus which caused the table to be suspended in midair. For 20 seconds everything glowed with a brilliant blue-white aura. The table settled, two short fellows came in, lifted the girl off the table, and she walked over to her mother perfectly healed. I was amazed. 14. The full story of this next case is presented in the book, Beyond UFOs, published by the Free Foundation. It involves an artist and homeopathic healer from England, with a lifelong history of contact. Case #098. Hip dysplasia. Egmore was born in Canada in 1976, but soon moved to England. Egmore was a normal, happy baby. However, as she began walking, she began to display symptoms of hip dysplasia. Her left leg would not work properly and kept becoming dislocated. It caused her great difficulties as she tried to walk. I used to drag my leg, says Egmore. I had to go upstairs sideways and pull my leg up with me, because my hip was born out of its socket. Her parents took her to the doctors, but the doctors were unable to treat her condition. Strangely, not long after the visit to the doctors, her hip was miraculously healed. It got better, says Egmore. They took me back to the specialist, and he said he'd never seen anything like it. So there I was with this miraculously healed leg at 5 years old. It only gave me problems when I walked long distances. At the time, 1981, Egmore had no idea what happened. But at age 19 she had a profound encounter with Pleiadia beings in her backyard in England. This was followed by a series of UFO sightings and humanoid encounters. She soon began experiencing onboard abductions. During many of these encounters, the beings performed various operations on her body. In 2008, Egmore was surprised to see a praying mantis-type ET carrying a screen which showed live images of the inside of her body. The mantis told her to look away as it performed an operation on her hip. Despite the ET's instructions, Egmore watched the operation. It appeared as though the ET was applying a bolt and screw-type device to her hip. The next thing she knew, it was morning. "I felt utter relief," says Egmore, "gratitude that these beings would come to see me. I was always grateful when they showed up." Remembering her earlier hip problems, Egmore wonders if they were healing her again. In any event, her hip is still fine. "I've never had any problems with it," she says, "so I really feel very grateful to these beings." 15. One of the leading killers in the United States and the world are strokes. According to the World Health Organization, 15 million people suffer a stroke each year. One-third fully recover, one-third are left permanently disabled, and one-third die. It is the leading cause of serious long-term disability in the United States. It most often occurs to the elderly, but can strike at any age. Immediate treatment can significantly reduce symptoms. Medication can lower risks, but there is no known cure. The ETs, however, seem to have found one. Case #099.